Welcome to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast for women of faith in business looking to take their careers or businesses to the next level without compromising their faith. If you're ready to begin taking action on your entrepreneurship goals, learn tips, tools, and strategies to execute consistently and manifest the life of your dreams, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira, business strategist, three-time author, using the fusion of faith and finances to lead female-led e-commerce brands to six and seven-figure revenue targets annually. Ready? Let's work. Tune into today's episode, Already in Progress.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Welcome back to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. I am so excited about today's episode because we're actually having a conversation with someone that I absolutely love, mashallah. This episode is inspiring millennials and Gen Z to keep the faith in fashion. And I think that this topic is extremely important. And that's part of the reason why we have our guest. So I'm actually going to introduce her and then give her salams, inshallah. So we're going to big her up a little bit first. So Esma Bibi found her passion for fashion at a young age. While Esma was growing up in Philadelphia, big up to Philly in the house. A city largely populated with American Muslims. And just real quick, the city of Philadelphia has a quarter of a million plus Muslims. And I'm just talking about the city of Philadelphia. I'm not talking about any of the surrounding areas, just an FYI, right? So her parents operated a clothing business and her mother taught her the basics of garment making, mashallah. From there, Esma taught herself more advanced skills, aided by online tutorials and YouTube. Big ups to YouTube University, right? Esma's motivation for designing a fashion line stemmed from the gap she noticed in the fashion market for modern and modest clothing that appealed to young Muslim women. In 2017, Esma launched her brand Hijabi Pop with the mission of creating modest yet trendy outfits for millennial Muslim females. In 2018, the designer showed her collection at the Fall 28 Hijab Fest, the CLF conference in Atlanta, and New York Fashion Week. In the future, Esma's mission is to take her modest wear mainstream as a modest luxury brand. And just a real quick she was on Project Runway as well. So we are just so excited for her and just, you know, amazed at her journey. And for those of you that are just joining the live, be sure to leave us questions and comments and big us up so we know to keep going, okay? She takes pride in her determination and identity as an African American Muslim woman. Assalamu alaikum, Esma. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited for the chat.
Alhamdulillah. So just a real quick, tee up. So how Esma is on this podcast. First of all, I love what she does outside of me knowing her personally. When I'm looking at your platform, Esma, you know, of course, you are a woman in business. Of course, you are on there to sell your product. You're on there, you know, to like, you know, make sure that we're fly, right? Sparkly and fly, right? But there's also messages, whether it's you coming on and talking on a live, whether it's a post. I mean, you even, you know, there's hadith, there's ayah. I mean, in your stories, it's everywhere, right? And you, what you can see, you know, even just from your page without knowing you in person, what you can see is your love for Islam, your love for your faith, and you're bringing it into the fashion. And so, you know, for me, that's extremely important. You're a millennial, right? And so I feel like you're impacting, you know, millennials, of course, but then you've got the generations that are coming behind, absolutely, you know, mashallah, that are seeing what you're doing and inshallah, they can model after. And just real quick, you know, we were just in Atlanta together. We were at the Masjid Ar-Rawda conference together. And what I watched you do is I watched how you interacted with the young girls that were there. And they're essentially Gen Z, right?
Yep.
And, you know, and it's like a big sister moment, even for you. As young as you are, there's even a big sister moment, you know, for you. And so there's just so much that I look up to you for and I admire you for. And that I pray that, you know, what's beautiful is that you're young and you're doing this. So I mean, there's just bismillah, there's just so much time that, you know, will come behind you. So
inshallah,
yeah. Getting into the nitty gritty of things, I want you to talk a little bit more about, you know, what Hijabi Pop is. And then, you know, just what are some of your goals for your brand, inshallah?
Okay. So Hijabi Pop was founded in 2017. I launched the online store in 2018. It's a modest wear fashion brand that also, you know, implements lifestyle. So most companies would say a lifestyle clothing brand. But we're implementing the idea of bridging the gap between your modern life and your religious beliefs and values. As a young Muslim girl, that's sometimes complicated. I started making clothes when I was 15. So I definitely was one of those people looking out to see what everyone else was doing because I didn't like the idea that everyone had the same clothes. It bothered me very much, actually. I like to not look like everyone else, especially when fashion is supposed to be expressive. So that was kind of the first stage. And that's also, I think, the founding point of when I decided that it was necessary to launch the store. I saw at that time, it wasn't as many modest wear fashion brands on the market. There wasn't a lot of statistics and there wasn't a lot to really look at other than overseas Middle Eastern stores. So I just was so confused as to how we in America have so many limited options and are looking overseas internationally for import. And at that point, I knew I wanted to be a fashion house in America, servicing everyone, but mostly those people who are directly within my reach domestically.
I love that, you know, so much. And, you know, it's very deep. Our previous episode, we had Zubaydah from Style by Zubaydah. And of course, she serves the plus size community. I feel like you guys are in the same space, right? You're talking luxury, you know, pops of color and, you know, just bright. Everything is bright. And, you know, I love what you're saying because even my mom, right? So my mom, you know, she didn't sew professionally, but she sewed for us. And it was the same thing. You know, we lived overseas. So, you know, everything was black, you know what I mean? Or colors that were close to it. And I'm talking about the 70s and the 80s, right? So I'm going way
and it
back,
hasn't,
right?
And it didn't change.
And hasn't changed much. And so that's why, you know, your talk track, your brand, you know, why it's here, what it's for, is important. And there's an element to it too, where that I really want you to dive into just a little bit is that, you know, how do we keep our girls modest when look at the options that they're being given, right? So please elaborate a little bit more just on that talk track, inshallah.
I'm just thinking back to when I was younger and looking at my peers and what was happening. I saw that the option was either to be cool, to look cool, or I'm just going to take my scarf off because I don't want to lose that coolness about me because it's cool to be cool. Especially no one young who hasn't actually identified what they want to do and who they want to be is interested in that concept. I think that our parents coming in, they made a decision of where they wanted to be, but their children have yet to make those final decisions. So it's kind of like kind of back and forth on where they're sitting. I would say you have to make the idea of what you present look good. For this type of crowd, and I know my Umi is old school. She's old school. And sometimes I have to talk to her about where girls are today versus where they were when she took her shahada at age 21. It's very, very different. It looks different. The pressures are way more severe. And I would say that instead of completely removing what she can wear, what she can do, give her alternatives and give her alternatives that actually would be, what's the word? That would be comparable to what you're telling her she can't have. And I think that's what's really important.
That's deep, Esma. Ooh, girl, right? You just said, and you know, I'm gonna do my best to say it exactly word for word the way you said it, is that, you know, something that is comparable to what you're telling her she can't have. And, you know, it's like as parents today, you know, we have to walk that fine line. You know, our parents were able to, like, you know, talk the fear into us, right? So, you know, I'm a second generation Muslim, sounds like you're a second generation Muslim yourself. And, basically it's like, we're in this space where our parents were like, it was like, you know, you're going to hell if, you know, you did this. And we were scared. We were like, okay, you know, we're going to straighten up and fly right. And like this generation, the next generation after that, you know, they're like, so, you know what I mean? It's almost like, so, and it's like, really? And so when you say comparable options, you know, what I see, like even what I'm wearing. So this is actually a hijabi pop piece. There's someone asking, is there a link? So I'm thinking that you're talking about how does she get over to hijabi pop. So Esma, go ahead and let her know how they can connect with you really quickly, inshallah, all of it, website, everything.
We're on all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, all under Hijabi Pop, HIJABIPOP. And then we also have the online store, which is www.hijabipop.com. If you were on Instagram, you can actually click the link in the bio for an easy access. But everything online, if you type in HIJABIPOP, we will pop up.
I love it, love it, love it, love it. So head over to Hijabi Pop. allofit.com, right? So, you know, my next question is, you know, leading into the next question, but kind of piggybacking off of the idea, like you just talked about, you know, giving them an alternative that is comparable, what have been your obstacles? Because I'm sure the obstacles lie in exactly that same vain, right? So, and what is your biggest fear as a Muslim woman in fashion?
Okay. So I would say that's two questions. So the first one to answer the obstacles, I think the first obstacle is, or has been, myself. Kind of actually really taking a look at me to determine and figure out where am I headed and what am I trying to do, and letting everything else be a blur. You have to really focus and hone in. And that requires accountability, and you actually doing real work. So I would say I'm going to take responsibility and say the obstacle has been myself, and not just doing and sometimes getting stuck in my own head. In addition to that, it has been the limit of modest options that vary in style. So, for example, there were so many different stages that I had to go through. I've been to maybe 6 or 7 business programs. Some of them were extremely intensive. So the idea of like business, I get that part. But then there weren't a lot of companies or business programs that geared to fashion when I launched. So now it's another component that's gearing and focusing specifically on fashion. And it's a little bit different than, you know, depending on what industry and genre, things are different. So I started out, obviously I sew. So I was sewing, wholesaling, drop shipping, all of these different things. They're all different dynamics on how you can sell or produce fashion. But what I learned was that if I'm actually interested in providing a different type of garment, it needs to be produced, because them still having the same exact options that we see over and over again doesn't really speak to the purpose of why we have Hijabi Pop. We have Hijabi Pop because we have other options that everyone else does not have. Because again, she wants something comparable, not necessarily comparable to what every other Muslim store has, but comparable to where she's at in her life and where society is at this current moment. So it's been a journey, because when you have to dig into the details of modest fashion, modest clothing has more fabric, the quantity, it's more fabric. So that's more money. You can go to the store and get a basic party dress for $5. if you're, especially if you're like wholesaling or something like that, but for an actual modest wear garment, that's up about 25%. 25 times.
Or more, depending on what you're getting. Like it may cost you $5 to make, you know, right, something that's in like a Forever 21. And these are legit numbers, right? So just really quickly, you know, clothing has a 200% plus markup. Right? 200% is kind of like lowballing it, markup. And so, you know, like something may cost $5 to make, you know, and then they put up 200%. That's how they're able to sell a dress for $19.99, right? There's a 200% markup on it, but you know what I mean? At $19.99. So, you know, that's deep, you know, what you're saying. I just wanted to add that, you know, in with regards to business and with regards to pricing, because, you know, we hear a lot of people specifically, you know, in modest fashion and specifically in the Muslim community, you know, like what's going on with this pricing? You know, it's a luxury brand, but they're selling modest fashion. You know, why is it $200, right? Yeah. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it speaks to how much you're actually paying for it, right? I've learned so much, you know, in the last year with regards to fashion. Like even, you know, you guys have to pay for samples. You have to pay for shipping. Most of the time you're using, you know, you're in India, Dubai or something like that. You're overseas. That costs money. Just the shipping alone, you know, I get books from overseas. Just the shipping alone can run you hundreds of dollars. Just shipping, not even the actual items themselves. So I'm so in love with what with this talk track and what you are talking about, because not only are you educating, you know, to help people who may want to come up in the modest fashion industry, but you're also educating the consumer too. When you see that $200 price tag, pay it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's been a part of the obstacle really running a business when there are higher margins and you still need to meet profit. And then obviously, you know, with bootstrapping and not necessarily having an investor behind you, what does that look like? So again, in the midst of all of it, you cannot be your enemy. You have to really hone in and take a look at yourself to say, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And just do it. As far as you also mentioned about a fear, right? This scares me, right? Let me tell you what concerns me. So as us being African American in America, and us, many of our parents were sewing or seamstress or, you know, gave to the community in some kind of way with garment making, but there's no enterprise to reflect what they did. That's scary, because then what happens for the next group to come? We've been here for so long. Where is our infrastructure? And like, this is the part, I don't want someone else to grab hold of what we live day by day for dollars. And I don't want us to feed into or accept that as a norm when that should be our space. And that's a concern.
It's a rightful concern.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to name the brands, but we have some really big brands with the money behind it. And they understand that, you know, just fashion alone is a multi-trillion dollar industry just for Muslims. So the halal, you know, modest fashion industry, I'm talking just Muslims, fashion that is geared toward Muslim women is in the trillion of dollars. We are spending trillions of dollars a year just on modest fashion. And so these big houses understand that. And so their marketing, their clothing is longer. I've seen some brands that like, they normally sell longer dresses, but they're short sleeves. Man, they came through this year and last year with those long sleeves. I haven't seen, so what are they called? The puff sleeves, bell sleeves, are they called like bell sleeves or something like that?
Bell sleeves, puff sleeves, just depending on how the cut is. Yeah.
Sis, they came through with those
I appreciate them, but they cannot own that. We can't allow them to own it, but it's appreciative because it's convenient, but we cannot allow them to own it.
Absolutely, those lower price tags.
Yeah.
And also put those lower price tags on it, you know, as a community. I know, you know, when we were just at the convention, Zubeda's on here too. I'm going to read her comment in a minute. And all three of us were there. And, you know, one of the conversations that we were talking about is, you know, how do we keep, you know, the money inside of our community? This is one of the ways. You know, you have Asmat on here, who is the CEO of a modest fashion brand. The way that you keep the dollars within the Muslim community and supporting causes that you want to support. Because here's the other thing that we need to understand as entrepreneurs and about entrepreneurship is that when you put the money in the hands of the good, so other Muslims, those Muslims in turn invest back into the community, invest in education, invest in stores, invest in, you know, things that you would find in your community, and that in turn uplifts the community. As Asma, you know, she's a, you know, a business, at some point she's going to need employees, and so she is creating jobs, and, you know, in the future she is creating jobs for Muslims, right? So, you know, running a modest fashion brand, I'm sure she's going to want to employ, you know, employees that are a reflection of, you know, her business, her, you know, and the clothes that she's selling, inshallah. So real quick, wa alaikum salam to anyone who just joined. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to read Zubaydah's comment, and then we're going to move on to the next question here. So Zubaydah of Style by Zubaydah, she said, I love that. We're always telling our women that they can't have something without giving us an alternative. Mm. Wasn't that deep? Mm-hmm. Here she come again. She was like, agreed. We can't give these brands props for trying to appropriate and finally seeing the Muslim woman has the money. Absolutely. Yeah. 1000% agreement. Asma. So, you know, we always want to make sure that we're giving, right? The more we give, you know, bi-idhnillah, the more that Allah blesses us and gives back to us in return. What three tips do you have for someone who is trying to break into the modest fashion industry, inshallah?
Okay, there's so many. But you guys, I've been through a lot of stuff to get here. So let me just try to narrow it. And I just want to just use this disclaimer. Because we are building brands and you see women as a whole are coming into business a lot more than ever before. And that includes Muslim women or hijabi women. All the fundamentals of business and knowing what that entails is not there. I see a lot of businesses that are coming out that are modest fashion, but I don't know if they know that they have to niche down. So finding a niche and identifying who your girl or who your woman is or who your customer is that you're selling to, because you can sell abayas, you can sell jilbabs, but you have to figure out who is that person that you're selling to a little bit further so that you can actually build brand off of that. And that took me some time to find out. So there's one spill of the tea. The second I would say is, and I learned this the hard way, so I'm giving you what I know best. When you're starting out, you do not need to start with a bunch of different products. Start with items that you believe stand for what the overall gist of your branding is. And work your inventory based off of demand and increase from there so you save yourself money. You do not need to use a bunch of different products. Narrow it down and then build your product and inventory from there. And then that also helps you determine who your ideal market is for you to be able to build out versus buying a bunch of things or placing a lot of things onto the website and it doesn't speak to who it needs to speak to, and you're not selling and you're stuck with a bunch of product. Third, I would say, do not worry about what other people are doing. You can always take tips, ideas, suggestions, things that you might find. Like everything on social media is, you can suck it all in. So you want to be mindful that you're not taking in every single last thing that you see. I've made it to where my timeline is really focused on business content, women empowerment, Islamic motivation, and then also just a few, not a lot, but just a few fashion brands that are outside of my scope that give me like a bigger, give me something else bigger to think on. And that's all I focus on. I do not look at brands that are exactly identical to mine. As from the research perspective, yes, when you're doing market research, you should. But past that, I don't, because it kind of blurs your creative mind. You don't need that. You need to focus on what it is that you need to do, not what everyone else is doing, because it'll have you in a bubble. You don't want to be there.
And comparison is the thief of all joy.
Yeah,
I wholeheartedly feel like every woman should follow exactly what Esma just said. And I did that as well, you know, where I'm, you know, following, you know, the things that I care about, I'm following those. But the people that may be my counterparts, I'm not actively following them necessarily. Yeah. You know, I'm making sure that, you know, I'm focused on what I am doing. And, you know, sometimes you can start, you know, mirroring what someone else is doing, and then you lose yourself, right? Yeah. Again, going back to that niche, you know, there's a saying, I think it goes like, the riches are in the niches, right? And don't be afraid to scale down. And a lot of women's in general, but Muslim women specifically, are afraid to say, I cater to Muslim women.
Oh,
I was afraid in the beginning. I was afraid, you know, my coaching business is specifically for Muslim women. I was afraid to say that because I felt like there was no money in that, right? But there was a woman, she was not Muslim. I went to one of her conferences, and she said to me, she said, why not address the elephant in the room? And she said, one, and she said, two, what's wrong with you honing in on that? Lisa Nichols, actually, I went to her conference. Wow. It was like 5 years ago. And she was one of the first people to tell me, be loud and proud. Wow. As, you know, a Muslim business coach, right? A Muslim woman's business coach, right? Be loud and proud with it. And then I had another mentor. She said the exact same thing to me. And I remember I stood up in a room, it was about 300 women. And when I looked around, I was the only, you know, hijabi woman in the room. If there were other Muslim
most
women
often
in the room,
that's the case.
Yes. It's there's most often, you know, when you're in the corporate setting, or you know, you move up a little bit, you know, you see less hijabs, just being honest. And, you know, when I was at this event, I stood up and I introduced myself as a Muslim woman's business coach, aka strategist, right? I had a line. I was not a speaker. I had a line after I did that. I need to find out more about you. I actually am a coach, but I have a lot of Muslim women, you know, who come to me, but I can't necessarily meet their needs for some reasons, because, you know, as I said, there are certain things that we don't do in business, certain products we don't sell, certain things we don't advertise, all kinds of stuff. And it's really beautiful to be in a space where we get to be around women that are like-hearted like us, that understand what we, you know, what our day in and day out looks like. We got a break to pray. You know what I mean? We, you know, there's certain things ethically we don't do. I mean, there's just so much, so first of all, Jazakallah khair, Esma, for those tips. Make sure that you go back and you rewatch this for those tips, and you write them down. And do your best to implement them in your business if you're currently in business, and if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, that you implement them there. I always love to ask this because, again, leading us back to our faith, is there an ayah or hadith or quote that you live by in your business?
Yeah, there's a few. There's been different stages. There's been a few. One that sticks out the most, I'll give a hadith, and I'll also give just something someone told me, and it's stuck with me. Let me actually just read it directly. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is Sahih al-Bukhari. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah says, I am just as my slave thinks of me. I'm able to do for him what he thinks I can do for him. And I am with him if he remembers me. If he remembers me in himself, I too remember him in myself. And if he remembers me in a group of people, I remember him in a group that is better than that. And if he comes one span near to me, I go one nearer to him. And if he comes one nearer to me, I go a distance of two outstretched arms nearer to him. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him running.
Mashallah.
I mean,
so one
that
of my
just it just says when people are speaking into the universe to manifest what they're speaking universe, but it's it's the creator. You're speaking to him. You're telling him what it is that you're pushing for. You're also not making it as you're, it's a mental thing that you're speaking it out, one, but that you're also aware that it's possible to be done. And so he can make that possible for you. And also not getting caught up in the idea that just because it's not going as you planned it, that it's not going to happen. Because he plans in a way that is well above what we understand. And I would say since COVID, I actually took on two different jobs, like part-time jobs to actually help fund the business. And I lost both of them. Prior to me running my full-time business, I had never been fired a day in my life. I'm like, Allah, what are you telling me? Are you just telling me that the answer is no, I need to focus on, okay, let me gear over here. it's just putting the faith. The other one I could say, I had someone tell me in a business program, I was in my head a lot more than what I am today. And she said, just throw it out there. Just throw it out. And I'll be like, no, it's not ready. She said, just throw it out. And even Sister Halima, as my mentor, she's like, just throw it out. And you continuously hear, just throw it out. And it's like, I don't think it's ready. I don't think that you're ready. If you had the idea, you're ready, throw it out. And I think that we're so focused on what other people are going to think, because I don't think that it's really that we think, well, we do think that it might not be good enough, but we're more concerned about what other people would think. And surprisingly, I've made $1,500 days from content that I thought was pure trash. Those were my best days, throwing out what I thought was not good enough. And that's just a reminder all the time to myself and to every person watching this, that what you assume or what you put into the idea of your mind, sometimes that's not always realistic. Just do. Execution is way more important than the process of planning, thinking, and continuously learning, and you're not actually putting anything into effect. So just do it.
That's beautiful. Sis, and someone just says, she said, Amin, one of the best hadiths to keep you grounded in the waqal of Allah, right? So just that full faith and, trust in Allah. And I can attest to the same thing, Asma, something that I thought was complete. No one was going to, understand it. No one was going to, jump on board one of the most successful programs, or one of the, like you said, one of the most successful posts where I got, more than what I thought I was going to get, from the post. A lot of people said, beautiful and powerful hadith, mashallah. So what does it mean to be a boss hijabipreneur, inshallah, to you?
It requires some responsibility now. You can't say you're a boss if you're not about that life. And what comes along with being about that life is that you're uncompromising in what you stand for. That's the first thing. You cannot crumble or compromise or get too discouraged on what you know is what you value and believe. You got to stand and stick by that. And if that may mean that you're standing and sticking by yourself, you may often be standing alone. The hijabi boss, she's real with herself. As I mentioned earlier, she's accountable for who she is, where she's going. There's an edge about her. There's something about her. People don't know. They can't really put their finger on it. And sometimes it may come off as a little disturbing, but it's only because it's different than what you're used to. As a hijabi boss, I believe that you're not just servicing the here and now, you're servicing the ummah for a future. And that needs to be important. And I believe that that needs to be more of the focal point than how much money you're going to get, because the money is going to come. You have to set the foundation, though, for what the plan is. And for hijabi pop, it's a lot of little girls. It's a lot of little girls coming from the ummah, and we're in some crazy times. I don't want them being confused. I need them 100% sure of who they are. And it kind of starts with us building and creating platforms and spaces for them to be confident enough around an entire world to know she's that girl. Because that's what leaders do. And that's a hijabi boss.
I love you so much. And, you know, I'm almost in tears, you know, with, you know, just that answer. You know, I didn't prepare her for this, y'all. This is all her, right? And when you hear my, you know, inspirational quote of the week, it's just going to bring this whole thing home. And she has no idea what mine is, right? Mashallah. You know, it's so deep, you know, and, you know, the work that we're doing, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, we may get some flack because we're women doing this. We're women spearheading a lot of this. You know, we're, you know, female leaders and you know, we're spearheading, you know, things in our community. And, you know, from a cultural standpoint, you know, we don't necessarily highlight us, right? So our community, I mean, I'm speaking specifically about the Muslim community, doesn't necessarily put a light on us. It's like, you know, well, the women to the back and then, you know, everyone else. But we have a responsibility to, you know, you know, they say that, you know, for the women, it is as if they are the whole of a society. They are half of the society and they raise the other half. So we need our leadership. We need us in entrepreneurship. We need us in positions of power in the community, because we need to be able to, like you said, be that example for not only the generation that is with us and the generations that come behind us, not generations that come behind us. You said something absolutely beautiful in the beginning. So if you're just coming on now, make sure when this airs, you go back and watch it, or you go back and listen to it if you're listening on the podcast. And you talked about your mom, and you talked about the women that came before, like my mother, where they sewed, but we didn't create, you know, they didn't create a blueprint. You know, they didn't, you know, have the enterprise, right, to be able to say this was an actual business back in the day, to where we can, you know, place claim on it. You know, bi'idhnillah, hijabi pop will be something that can pass on from generation to generation, whether it's your children, your nieces, or, you know, somebody else, right, or running it. But it's something that we can pass on, inshallah. Someone said, Asma, I love seeing how far you have come. I am enjoying you watching your journey, mashallah. Mashallah. There's more to come, you know, from this sister. I mean. So again, I know you gave your deets earlier, but I just want you to give it again. Where can the audience connect with you? And are there any upcoming product launches? I know we spoke about one in Atlanta. Has that come about yet? Is it coming soon? What's going on? Would you any sneak, you know, stuff that we can let anybody know what they can see for the rest of 2021 and going into 2022, inshallah?
Okay, cool. We do have some sneaks. I'm spilling some tea right here and right now. So on this live, we're about to get into it. So you can follow Hijabi Pop on all social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube at Hijabi Pop, HIJABIPOP. And we also have our official website at www.officialhijabipop.com. We have began coming out and launching products that fit the hijabi's lifestyle. So I mentioned that earlier on this podcast, that it's a lifestyle. It's modest fashion, but we're implementing lifestyle here. So we'll always have fashion. We have a new collection coming out. We're currently getting rid of all of our current inventory. It will not be following us in 2022. We have really, 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 really breaking news for fashion drops for 2022. Excited about that. I'm not going to talk too much about that right now. But we launched our own formulated cool. So we have cool that is actually an herbal cool. I don't know if many know, but the cools that are being offered or that are remaining and a lot of the oil stores have lead in them. So they got recalled. They're selling a lot of like discontinued product, which is what you're currently seeing. And then you also see new items on the market. But ours is an herbal cool. If you know anything about Kool, it's been used for ancestors, since ancient time. They actually used to put it in babies' eyes. That's how safe it's been. It clears the eyes, nourishes the eyes, and also, as an addition, it beautifies the eyes. So it's something that I've been wearing since I was a kid. And I figured it would be a good staple as a lifestyle piece or a lifestyle product to give to those who are not aware of its benefits and what it does. Especially since we're in the age of makeup. This is a halal makeup that you can use as an eye treatment or for beautification. We also came out with our own lip gloss, hijabi gloss. And then in addition to that, we are going to be releasing our first formulated halal perfume. So it's the perfume. It has no alcohol in it. And it will, you can wear it praying, so it's not breaking your wudu. You can wear it. I wouldn't suggest wearing a lot of it outside, but it's a very soft, elegant smell. I can't wait for you guys to smell it and potentially purchase it. I'll just go ahead and tell you the name of it. It's actually called Esme. The smell and the hints of the characteristics of the perfume are contributed to Esma radiallahu anha. And I also am bridging into my name. I've allowed people to call me BB, call me different nicknames for a very, very, very long time because people did not know how to pronounce Esma. So I'm ready to sort of claim that especially after hearing Esma's story. You don't hear of her very often. But after I read about her and listened in, this was last Ramadan, something told me to figure out a little bit more about her story. And I was blown away. And I said, I need to own who I was named after. So the perfume, again, is Halal perfume. I'm really excited about that. And then just stay tuned for the fashion drops that are becoming 2022. There's one more. We also are going to be releasing a course, and this is going to be geared to those sisters who are already in fashion or who are looking to break into the modest wear fashion industry. Like Sister Halima said, it's $1 billion to be made. These larger companies know what the statistics are. It's very low saturation right now. So it's a perfect timing for us to hop in, grab what we can, and really make something of it. And I'm specifically gearing into those in America, but the course will be digital, so anyone can certainly join in. But we'll be releasing that. If you're interested in learning more about the program, you can sign up now. DM us the word modest fashion at Instagram, and we'll definitely go ahead and give you some more information. We also have that link in our bio on the Instagram page. You would click on that first link that says, so you want to break into the modest wear fashion industry.
Esma, I am so, so, so proud of you. And may Allah grant you tawfiq with everything that it is that you are doing. And you know, Allah, you know, he gives us those little nudges and those little, you know, signs, and they're uncomfortable.
Very.
But look at what was birthed out of that discomfort. Look at Allah. Masha'Allah. May Allah grant you tawfiq. Esma, I want to say thank you so much. Somebody said, Masha'Allah, I love it. Listen, honey, mashallah, make sure you are following the sis Hijabi Pop on all, social media platforms, www.hijabipop.com, right? Yep. Make sure you go and head over to her website, sign up for her newsletter, email list, so that you don't miss any of these upcoming drops, launches, courses. Listen, you better get it, sister. With that being said, I want to say thank you guys so much for joining. Inshallah, I'm going to share with you my inspirational quote of the week. And this hadith speaks to the work that Esma is doing in her work on the Hijabi Pop platform. Narrated Abdullah, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best people are those of my generation, and then those who will come after them, the next generation, and then those who will come after them, the next generation, and then after them, there will come people whose witness will precede their oaths, and whose oaths will precede their witness." I told you. It was right in line with what you were talking about. So jazakallah khair for your entire talk track. Someone just said, "May Allah grant you success." Ameen. Allahumma. Ameen. Jazakallah khair for being here. Be sure to come back next week for episode 60. We'll be talking about legacy, guiding the end of life conversation with Tahira Talib Dean. Jazakallah khair. Peace.
Assalamualaikum.
This has been another spectacular episode of Boss Hijabipreneur, brought to you by BUNHD LLC and the Not Without My Hijab stage play. To find out more about services for women of faith in business and the next city up on the tour, visit www.bunhd.com. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each episode, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global communities.